Blog Talk Radio.
Don't say anything yet? Now can I talk?
Now you can talk.
Now I can start the show.
Yes, you can start.
Okay. I see what we have issues
in
here.
Yes. We were a little discombobulated. Is that a word?
I don't know.
It sounds like a word, yeah. A little bit confused and running around with our heads cut off.
It has been a very rough day so far, but the show must go on.
Of course.
And ladies and gentlemen, we are live. It is the absolute truth with your host, with the most, the King of Kings himself, the Hot Rod, sitting with...
Sean Black. Yes, I am here.
Oh, in person this time compared to last time.
Exactly.
And we have... Oh, she's... Thank you.
Birds playing around.
Yes. No, Anitra be here today. She had a little bit mishap. She was on her knees a lot.
Uh-oh.
I'm not saying whatever.
Watch her call it and find out what happened. Yeah.
No, she was in the hospital for something. I cannot go too detailed.
Okay.
Besides that, she was on her knees a lot. And,
Get well.
Get well, Anitra, and I don't miss you. Okay. Other than that, let's get the show on the road.
Oh, yes. Oh, loaded show today.
Yes,
loaded
and show. I like to recap on the police situation again.
Yes.
And last week we talked about, the white cop, black guy got killed back in, what was it, South Carolina?
Yes.
Okay, this is a weird case to me that people are talking about this now. But it's back in February 19th, about in Tucson, Arizona, a cop ran over a suspect.
Yes.
And that was caught on video.
This is one of those things that we hear about every so often. But, we've been hearing a lot of cases of cops going above and beyond what they're supposed to be doing. And it ends up making news because of white cop, minority suspect. That's usually what tends to happen. Like you just said, it was February 19th, dashboard cameras of two police cars. One of the cars ran into a suspect who had a rifle in the city. It was a call earlier in Tucson, Arizona, about a suspect who had a rifle running around in the city.
Well, trying to understand that, you got to take precaution.
Yeah,
let's go.
Exactly.
We'll carry on.
Yeah, the suspect's name is a 36-year-old by the name of Mario Valencia. He survived and was hospitalized, and then, of course, he was criminally charged with having said rifle in his hand. Basically, they interviewed the cop that actually, they interviewed the police chief. His name is Terry Rozema. And basically, in the instance that happened, deadly force was actually initiated. They basically were told by the cops to bring this guy down at all costs. And if you have to use deadly force, you have to use it. So they asked the police chief, were the police fortunate that Valencia didn't die after the crash? And these are his exact words. Quote, "That may very well be. It is luck that he is still alive. The fact of the matter remains, though, deadly force was authorized. So if he ends up dying in that situation, then he ends up dying, and that's unfortunate. But that's not the desire of everybody." End quote.
Okay. I would not be surprised that some BS lies they just came up with. At that time, yes, the guy is a criminal, and he did some random acts the same day. He first robbed a 7-Eleven store.
Yeah.
He set a fire to a church.
Oh, brother.
He stole a car.
Oh, he sounds like a Boy Scout already.
Oh, yes. Then, with a stolen car, he drove to a Walmart and stole a rifle with ammunition. So he went on a good shopping spree that day.
Yes.
So I understand why the police are upset or angry or whatever terms you want to use.
Yes.
Well, to use, and I saw the video. The guy's walking down the street, yes, with a rifle in his hand. He fired a shot in the air. Apparently, he's having a bad day.
Yes.
So he's going cuckoo for Cocoa Pop.
Yes.
So there was one cop following the guy, slowly. Then out of nowhere, the cop, what's his name again?
His name is Michael Rapajico.
Thank you, because I cannot pronounce that.
Yes.
He's a former NYPD, also known as RoboCop.
Yeah.
Because he's crazy in his own way.
Yes.
Take the car and ramsack to the guy.
Yes.
over the fence.
Yes.
And by the grace of God, he's still alive.
Which I don't know how, because that video was actually hard to look at. But we understand the premise behind why it happened.
Yes. But is it at excessive force at that time, you think?
Well, see, here's the thing. As a police officer, you have to understand that the one thing that you have to do is protect all of the civilians that you're in your jurisdiction to make sure that this guy doesn't get out in the street and do any other harm. He didn't kill anyone, thank God, but there's always that possibility. Somebody's walking around with a rifle, and as you just gave the litany of things on his to-do list, you know, basically you have to make sure that he doesn't get into the public and nothing happens along those lines. As far as the excessive, one of those things that you see happening is, I look at it like this. If you're going to be one of those people that are actually on the sideline, let's say you're an innocent bystander, you're on the side, you see what's going on, or maybe you're in one of the cars that are on the highway and you see something happening, or you happen to be, like a lot of people now have a lot of these police scanners where you can listen to police chatter or anything that's going on. You want to make sure that you are away from all of this damage and all of the craziness that's going on.
Okay, yes.
Now, if you are of the mindset that the police have to make sure that they have to protect at all costs, then this is not an issue. Now, as I've stated this before, minority victim that was run over by the car, a lot of people are finding it was excessive, it shouldn't have happened, they could have just taken him down, they didn't have to run him over, whatever is the case. Now, I'm going to read to you what Michael Rapajko's actions are. This is the police officer that ran him over.
RoboCop.
But we'll refer to him as RoboCop the rest of the way.
Yeah.
This is basically what was said about the actions, and saying that they were justified. Quote, "We don't know that if RoboCop lets him go for another 10 seconds, that Valencia doesn't take somebody out in the parking lot. And then we're answering some completely different questions. Why didn't you act sooner? This guy had a gun. Why didn't you stop this guy before he shot my wife, before he shot my husband, before he shot my child?" End quote. And, of course, with this happening, now you're going to have the inevitable lawsuit. And Valencia has his own. He lawyered up shortly after he got to the hospital. His lawyer's name is Michelle Cohen Metzger. And she basically said, "It's miraculous that my client isn't dead." No kidding.
Well, even though her client is going to face 15 charges.
Oh, yes.
For his great shopping spree that time.
Yes.
But thank God he's still alive.
Yes.
But my question is, okay, apparently he goes do some time. Is he entitled to a lawsuit?
Well, we're going to find that out as the case goes through. But according, like you said, he's facing 15 charges. 15. And that's 3 counts of aggravated assault, 3 counts of armed robbery, and possession of a deadly weapon by a prohibited possessor. And he had a prior record going in before he was arrested. Now, I'm going to give you the timeline of some of the things that happened leading up to this, because you explained a little earlier some of what happened. And then we'll bring it to whoever is listening, just for you to think about it to see if this excessive force was used. So first of all, Tucson Police Sergeant Pete Dugan had told CNN, because CNN was covering this story, that Valencia was involved in several incidents prior to the day he was hit by the car. Now, this happened way back in February 19th. We're talking well over a month ago, almost 2 months ago.
Yeah, but the media is talking about it right now.
Exactly, and I wonder why. But we'll get into that also afterwards. But Valencia allegedly robbed a 7-Eleven in Tucson with a metal object in his hand, so the authorities have said he was dressed only in his underwear. He was charged with theft with that. A little more than an hour later, police say Valencia set a fire at a church for which he was charged with arson of an occupied structure. There were people still in the church. So just after that, he entered a home, stole a car, and that's the car in question that he was, he stole earlier on. Then they said he drove to a Walmart in downtown Marana where he allegedly stole a 30 caliber rifle with ammunition, fled the store with Walmart employees following him. And the police impounded him. They want to get their product and they want to get their money. That's why.
Oh, but if I see you walk around with a gun, you go that way, I go this way.
Exactly. As we said before, somebody has a weapon, run the opposite direction. Don't follow, leave. Anyway, the police encountered him in a business park walking down the road. That was that same rifle that he had in his hand that he was shooting in the air. An officer told him several times to drop the rifle. Lieutenant Tim Brunekamp said with the Marana police said that in an email contained the timeline of events. Valencia police said walked away from the officer, turned a corner, and stopped. Then Valencia pointed the rifle at the officer, then walked away again toward a Coca-Cola bottling plant and then another business. So, quote, as Valencia briskly walked toward Sergeant Controls, Officer Robocop, as he calls himself, used his marked car to stop the dangerous situation Valencia had created. In other words, he just basically stepped on the gas and ran the guy down, as was seen in that video. Brunekint said also by phone that before Robocop's encounter with Valencia, the suspect had pointed the rifle at his head multiple times and threatened suicide before he fled the scene.
So basically, he has a mental case. He's sick in the head.
Yeah, and I guess that the whole premise behind everything was either he was trying to get, as there is a something called suicide by cop, which basically means you want to die and you force the police's hand by them trying to kill you. That could have been an option he was trying to get. But also at the same time, now we have to look at it from the standpoint of the civil rights of a particular person. How do you explain to others? How do you explain to a lawyer or somebody that's going to try and understand the opposite side of what happened? Does he have any real rights based on all of the things that we just talked about in that timeline? And I don't understand you can kind of understand the premise behind what the people are talking about and maybe try to get some kind of justification for why he was run down. But the bottom line is everybody is supposed to have rights. And
right.
He lawyered up and got himself a lawyer. And we have to now find out what he's going to try and either defend himself for, or is he going to do the inevitable civil suit to the cops? Who knows what's
going to happen? He's going to jail and they're going to knock him out.
Oh, of course.
But besides that, the reason I want to talk about this case is because it brought attention towards people because of last week's situation with the cop in South Carolina. Police using excessive force.
Yes.
Abusing their power. It has been going on for a long time, but now it's going on a different scale.
Yes.
So using a car to run over someone, is that a different scale or I'm just doing my job?
Yeah, exactly. Is it overboard? Is it too much? I mean,
so if I shot him, that's okay.
Yeah.
But if I run over him and he's still alive, well, that's still wrong.
And
so,
see, the thing is, as we talked about last week, there's always been that ideal that if a cop is going after a suspect, it's more or less, depending on the circumstances, if you're not using deadly force, as we've been told before, it's shoot to maim, not to kill. And what we didn't see with the South Carolina incident is that the cop, Michael Slager, he shot this suspect in the back with the taser, then went and proceeded to shoot him 8 times in the back while the guy's walking away from him. That was completely and totally unjustified from the video that we saw as far as 8 times in the back to kill him. Now, as far as this goes, this is a little bit of a different story in the fact that this guy has a rifle. There's a weapon. It's been established. The man had a weapon in his hand. He had a rifle that he just stole from a local Walmart and fired shots in the air, threatened to take his own life to escalate the situation. What do you do as a cop? Do you try to shoot him to take him down so that you can take him to jail and find out what happened? Or do you make sure that you end the entire situation by just running him over it and chalking it up as something else?
Think about the case. Did they mention any race in this?
No, they didn't.
But in last week's situation, they mentioned a black man, white cop.
Exactly.
So the reason why I brought this story up because This thing happened back in February.
Yes. We're talking almost 2 months ago.
And people are talking about it now.
Yes.
Something that happened last week between a white man and a black man, within seconds, the whole world know about it.
Exactly.
So I know you have to pick and choose your stories.
Yes.
But once again, this negativity, this racial profile itself.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, the story about the cop running over the guy, why now?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it was reported back in Two-Star.
Yeah.
Over a month ago, but why CNN is talking about it?
Well,
are we talking about
the
it
the reason
now?
Why is because of the heightened sensitivity to what's been going on. Like you said, the South Carolina instance that happened there and all of the other instances that have been happening over the last couple of months, there's that heightened sensitivity to a story that's going to be on the news, and we got to put it on there. Remember, we had the story just a couple weeks ago of the cop that tried to take down another suspect, and he 70-year-old cop pulled out, instead of pulling out the taser, he pulled out his revolver, shot the guy and killed him. You know, we've been hearing stories that have involved police on an accelerated platform. It's been going on much more often. You're bound to hear at least one or two stories a week now, it seems. And that's what sells papers.
It's because people love that feed of the negativity on cops.
Exactly. It's like they want to be taken down a peg because the perception is that there are a lot of police officers that are, like you stated before, that have a lot of power, that have abused their power. I know there are a ton of cops that follow and obey the law. They take their job seriously. And those are the ones that we want to make sure know that it's not all police officers. It's never been all police officers.
Well, people follow what the media says.
And that's the issue. It's the responsibility of the media, people like us, to bring both sides of the story. And make sure that it isn't clouded in a bunch of garbage and, you know, he said, those kinds of things that happen, and get the right story and get the temperate correctly without going too far on one side or the other without getting all the facts.
True. Remember the video I sent you earlier this week about a naked man that fought off three cops?
Yes, that was, yeah.
It's a funny story. It was a man being arrested for being, you know, naked in public.
And was probably drunk out of his mind.
Drunk, stoned, whatever.
Yes.
And he punched a cop. Then he kicked another cop.
Yes.
Pulled some type of ninja move and started running away from the cop.
Yes. He basically hit the concrete, did a front roll, and kicked the cop, and then ran in the opposite direction. Now, I believe they did finally arrest the guy.
Yes.
But you want to know if this situation had happened differently with different suspect, different cops, different area, this story could have ended completely different.
Of course, that's why I'm like, well, when I was reading the comments, why he did not get shot?
Exactly.
Why they did not beat his ass to the ground?
Yeah.
It was a black man. Blah blah blah. Blah.
Yes.
The negativity stories
yes.
and the negativity comments continue.
Yes. How many times have you seen in over the years episodes of Cops? Where you would see the police officers, they know they got a call because they're, well, this guy, we knows he's been getting belligerent and drunk and blah, blah, blah. They go ahead and it's a white suspect. White suspect gets pulled over by the cop, yells and berates the cop. You know, my dad will have your job and you will never do this and you will never do that. And yell at the cop, well, we're just here to make sure that we don't want to have anything happen. Mm-hmm. And that mentality that most people have, that a lot of white people that are in the same situation can almost not necessarily get away with being arrested, but they almost have carte blanche to almost say and react in their normal way. Whereas if an African-American or Hispanic-American or any minority in that same situation acted the same way, it would
be
done. Yanked out of the car, put on the neck, arrested. You don't know what the situation would have been. So that kind of stereotype that we see is based on what we've seen on television. And Cops and other shows like that kind of perpetuate it. And then we see on the news on an almost regular basis now.
Yeah.
We're seeing an African-American get pulled over and it becomes a big to-do when it really shouldn't be. Whereas a Caucasian gets arrested, pulled over, and it's a much more smooth experience, it seems.
So you're suggesting I should bleach my skin and become white?
I wouldn't go that far. It might be painful.
Come on, dude. I could do it, right? Hello, officer.
I don't think your son would recognize you.
How long I pay the child support is okay.
Oh, of course, yes. As long as, as long as you play green, the color of your skin doesn't matter, I guess.
Exactly.
Oh, of course.
You know. Okay, on to other news.
Yes.
Another story I'd like to recap is the Indiana Religion Freedom
Law. The Religious Freedom Act.
Yeah, that nonsense.
That was, in and of itself, one of the most ridiculous stories that we've heard of. And we got so many examples. I combed the internet and Hot Rod combed the internet, and we found some of the most incredulous stories we've seen to date.
So, in other words, people are making a profit out of this.
Of
both
course.
Negative and positive.
Exactly.
Like, for example, this woman who owned a pizzeria, her and her father or something like that, she was talking to a reporter. And, of course, the reporter changed the words a little bit. But she stands by what she means. She don't mind serving gay people at her pizzeria, but she will not cater a gay wedding. So that sparked outrage, you know, discrimination, why you did something like this. If she have a right not to serve gay people due to the new law, that's her right,
yes,
right?
That is true.
And the people that did support them, well, she lost her business for a little bit.
Yeah.
So she got donations, over $800,000 in donations to save her shop.
Yes.
So you have people who are against her and people that support her. Number one, before I go into detail, why do you want to have a pizzeria cater your wedding?
I think that's the more important question.
I'm like,
you have to be really, really cheap, or you really don't care about your guests if you're catering a wedding with pizza.
Yeah.
You know? Well, what's the wedding cake going to be? Something from Carvel's? I mean, or some other ice cream cake or something?
So what's the menu? Do you want pepperoni or chicken?
Oh, of course.
But people want to, in a way, I support her a little bit.
Okay.
It may sound weird. I'm like, yes, I don't care about your religion. That's out the window. But if that's part of your religion base, is that what you believe in? So be it. She did not say, I'm not going to serve any gay people. You could come to the store, you know, feel free and eat. She don't believe in a union of gay and lesbian.
Mm.
She don't believe in marriage, and that's part of some religion. And so I understand that type of concept.
Mm.
But to go out there and threaten her and trying to kill her and all this other nonsense, there's no need for that.
Mm.
If Sean don't want to serve me or don't want to cater my wedding with your pepperoni slice, you know what? Screw you. I take my business somewhere else. I'll go to Pizza Hut.
Yes.
That's my thing. Why we need to go out and raise hell for someone?
Yes.
You can always take your business and go somewhere else. $800,000 you made in donations.
Exactly. And it goes to show you that how pervasive and how deep it goes with the ideal behind gay, lesbian, transgendered, and there seems to be a war, as we've seen, and I hate to use that word war when we talk about certain things, because real war is actually people die and have all kinds of battles and get maimed, maybe on a small level that can be thrown in as a description of this. But this is the new bigotry that we've been seeing going along for the longest time. And ever since that, we've had now civil unions that are looking at gay people that are getting married, mostly because of, one, as far as I'm concerned, they deserve to be just as happy as anyone else.
Okay.
If a gay person finds that right person for them, and they fall in love and they want to get married, and let it be legalized union, so that in case, for the most part, about health insurance, health issues, next of kin, those kinds of things can be taken care of by the government. Because we've heard stories of people that have been in gay relationships for a very long time, long term, 20, 30 years, and then one of them gets sick, and because there is no marriage, there's no next of kin, I can't put him on my health insurance because we're not married, or I can't see him in the hospital because he can only see family.
Well, don't worry, Sean, I got you on my plan.
Very funny. But in all reality, though, if you think about it, those kinds of things actually work. And when it happens and you take a look at just the married couples in general and the things that they want to be able to accomplish, now where the problems come up with now is that it is not 100% nationwide yet. There are still a ton of places that don't take gay marriages or gay relationships seriously. Case in point, the story that I found earlier in the week, and I told you about this, I think it was Wednesday.
Yeah.
This is probably the most blatantly ridiculous example of that entire thing. I have to bring it up. There's a Michigan car repair shop owner who will openly turn away gay customers, and it's legal. This is in Michigan. You have to hear this. First of all, his name is Brian Clawwater.
Where do they come up with his name?
I have no idea. It's a name. It's a name. And he is the owner of the Diesel Tech store in Granville, Michigan. Now, on Tuesday, he went to Facebook to announce in a post that he had no problem refusing to serve gay customers on the basis of religious freedom. Guns, however, are allowed, and customers who bring in firearms are eligible for a discount.
So, wait a minute.
Bring in a gun, but don't you keep the gun that you have with you, quote-unquote, holstered, if you understand.
So, if I love a man, there's a problem. If I love a gun, that kills
people.
Because
this country is in love with guns and weapons, and that's another topic for another day.
Yeah, that's a three-hour show.
That's a three-hour show in and of itself. But this is and this is what we talked about before, where it comes in, as I've stated, a lot of these things happen because of religion and a lot of the religious beliefs that people have as the excuse to hate and to become bigoted toward anybody that they are not they don't care for. And this is a case in point. This is what he wrote in his Facebook post about this is the owner of Diesel Tech. Quote, "I am a Christian. My company will be run in a way that reflects that. Dishonesty, thievery, immoral behavior, etc., will not be welcomed at my place of business. I would not hesitate to refuse service to an openly gay person or persons. Homosexuality is wrong, period. If you want to argue this fact with me, then I will put your vehicle together with all bolts and no nuts, and we'll see how that works." End quote.
You know, I like that comment.
I mean,
he's determined.
Yes.
He's making a statement right there.
Yes.
I mean, he sounds crazy, but if that's his belief, yes, he's taking it out of line. There's two different things between that and compared to a lady. She don't believe in a union. But she's making an exception of serving gay customers.
Yes.
Him, he don't want to be dealing with that, period.
It's open. It's out there. My problem is it's still bigotry. It's still hatred of a particular race, gender. It doesn't make a difference. It's not needed. And in all reality, if somebody is going to go all out of their way to make sure particular people don't come to your establishment, then I'm pretty sure there's a lot of gay and lesbian people that have the money to support his business. They could go and get organized, and this guy could be out of business, or at least from the sense, not necessarily be sued, but just to take the money flow from where he is.
So what happens is the same thing what happened to the lady. He loses business, and if you have other supporters that will give him donations to open up his business back up again.
Yes, and this is what has been happening now. You're starting to see the like-minded people that agree with the bigotry are the ones that have the money that are going to help keep people in business that is going through a struggle and strike like that.
So if you hate something, people will send you money?
I guess so.
In that case, ladies and gentlemen, I hate you. Please send me money.
Yes, go figure. Now, I have to read the rest of the story because in all reality, it's enlightening and it's kind of scary at the same time.
Oh, before you continue, 347-989-8402. The number once again is 347-989-8402.
Yes. Now, he continued on where he talked to WOOD-TV. Ironically, Wood Television. That's the name of the radio. That's the name of the TV station in Michigan.
That's a lot of wood.
That's a lot of wood. But here it is. This is what he continued to say. Quote, If you have a vehicle that needs to be repaired, we'd be happy to do that for you. But if you want to come in here with your boyfriend and you want to openly display that, that's just not going to be tolerated here. We don't believe in that. End quote.
He don't like to see the sight of two guys holding hands with each other.
Or two women or two, you know, transgendered or anybody else that is not heterosexual openly displaying affection in his establishment.
Does he have the right not to like gayness?
He can, if it's his personal beliefs, nobody can tell you what your personal beliefs should be. My problem is when your establishment is, it's based on your personal belief to serve who and who you not want to.
But it's his business. He can do whatever he wants.
It is his business, but at the same time, if you're providing a service for a particular area and you're doing that, I guess if you're bringing that out in the open, as is stated here, it's totally legal with what he's doing, and I'll explain that in a second. There was a question, the name of Zach Ford of Think Process Progress. He noted that if Claude Witter decided to deny service to a gay person, he would likely face no legal repercussions because neither Michigan nor the city of Granville have a non-discrimination law protecting LGBT people in place. So there's no way to protect against that kind of thought process in that entire region or in Michigan in general. Now, Michigan's non-discrimination law, which is called the Elliott-Larsen Civil Rights Act of 1976, does not list sexual orientation or gender identity under its protection, according to LGBT rights advocacy group Equality Michigan. Thus, it is legal to deny LGBT people housing or service in stores or in restaurants, and it is completely legal. That is the crazy part.
So gays and lesbians have the right to be upset, go angry, go raise hell?
Yes. But legally, they don't have any recourse other than to go to their local chapters or talk to their congressmen and try to get this law either rescinded or get it reworked so that, because this is a civil rights issue. Because if you think about this, if you go back to Selma and Alabama and back in the 60s, how there were businesses like this that denied colored people the right to come in and buy food or sit down in the front of the store or even come into the store because they had brown skin, dark skin. They were looked at as mongrels and all kinds of other derogatory things. Because you were colored, because you were black, you were not white, you can't come in here. And it's the same kind of thing that's happening here. If you're
the religious part,
and that is the part of this that drives
that's
people
what Indiana is trying to pull right now.
Indiana and Arizona has this either in place or is about to sign it into place. Indiana, we've been hearing about this for the last 3 weeks now. These kinds of things that have been happening on a regular basis now, and I'm telling you, don't be surprised if anywhere near this you start to hear more and more of these kinds of stories popping up. Now, this is in Michigan. Now, Michigan, we all know, especially Detroit and all that area, the city is all, Detroit, Michigan is almost bankrupt, but they aren't bankrupt already. There's no economy coming into the area as far as to keep them afloat. We've got tons of people losing houses. The jobs are basically gone. A lot of people have lost property, lost a lot from the area. So what we now see is, it looks to me that when you go and you see the hatred for any group of people, gay, Jewish, black and white, Hispanic, any hatred towards any group, and then you look at it from the standpoint of, we're not going to serve you, we're not going to give you a service that you probably require. Let's say gay couple walks in, my car broke down, and you're the only place that we can go to that we can afford. And you're going to tell me just because I'm gay, you're going to refuse to serve me? Where else am I going to be able to get my car fixed? And in certain instances like that, that is the wrong thing, I think. And that's part of the problem.
The problem I have with going back to the donation stuff.
Okay.
We're in civil war right now. So let me send money to the gay rights.
Yeah.
And let me send money to the flower shop, the pizzeria, the body shop.
Oh, they're getting support from other people that think like-mindedly like them.
Yes, but why are we supporting businesses and we're not supporting other events? There's homeless people out there. There are veterans that need jobs out there.
Yes.
Why are we not sending money towards that? But we'll send a lady with a pizzeria because she have a belief. Oh, if you're not going to serve pizza to gay people in a
Yes.
wedding, you get over $800,000.
Yep.
While there's schools that need books. It's like, way we transfer
Yes.
money is mind-boggling.
Yes, the money goes into weird places that doesn't belong, but where it really needed, it's never shown up.
And so I'm like, okay, so once again, guys, please support me. I don't like anybody. Send me money. I'm just saying, though, I got child support to do. All right, Sean Black.
Yes.
I don't like to talk about politics too much.
Then don't. Next question. Just kidding.
It's something I don't care about.
I
But
understand.
people told me, Rodney, a.k.a. the Hot Rod, a.k.a. the King of Kings, you have to talk about this lady. I'm like, fine, I will do it for the fans.
Halle
When?
Berry?
I wish.
Let's all talk about Halle Berry.
Yeah.
No.
She could be my president anytime she wants. But Hillary Clinton,
Yes.
shocking news that she wants to run for president.
Wow, I didn't see that one coming.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
We all know this was probably the worst kept secret in all of politics. We knew from the day that President Obama won his second term that she was going to run. It was just a
Yeah.
matter of time. So here's the interesting thing. She's changed up her campaign message from what we've seen. From I'm going to be the first woman president to I understand how you are and I'm going to be there for your needs and make sure that we can have the right kinds of government and trying to make sure that the Democrats that she's actually representing understand that she's trying to be a different Hillary Clinton. I don't know how
She
much different.
learned more now than she did back then.
Yes.
But
And
back then she was close.
very, very close. So I think now, is the country ready? I think the country is ready for a woman president. I think the country is ready for another Clinton in office. The question is now, what is her platform going to be? Because she hasn't really gone in on what her politics is going to be. Has it changed differently from any of the other instances and points that she's brought up? But we already know that now that I think she's pretty much the only Democrat that's opened up and said that I'm running for president. All the Republicans now have an attack point because all of the attack ads that have started early, we all know it. So
Oh, please,
she's a
the joke
Clinton.
began
She's
on
a
Hillary Clinton.
Clinton. All she cares about is her cat suit. Oh, how can she be blah 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 and whatever is the case. I've even heard the audacity of since her husband cheated on her that the fact that she took him back is a negative on her. And I'm like,
But
what?
that's something that happened like what, 20 years ago?
Good Lord.
But I don't like the joke that they're cracking on Hillary already.
Yes.
Like, if she cannot satisfy her man, how can she satisfy the country?
Oh yes.
Oh,
Oh, mic drop.
I'm like, all right. So, do you think she's the right woman for the job?
Well, I'm personally, she's a much better person for the job than, say, Sarah Palin, who I think pretty much everybody realizes was inept when it comes to, I guess, running in any government form. She was basically laughed out of her own party. And all of the comments and the parody that happened towards her, it shows you how quick they turned on it. But I don't think it had anything to do with the fact that she was a woman. I think it had to do with the fact that a lot of people thought she just wasn't that bright. Difference is with Hillary Clinton, any of the things that are happening now, between now and Election Day 2016, which is coming up, folks, it's next year in November. We're already on the clock, like the NFL draft. You're on the clock. We're going to hear at some point, some Democrats are going to probably show up and announce their candidacy. But we've already got something like seven or eight Republicans that have already put themselves in Ted Cruz has said he's in. Jeb Bush is thinking about going in. Mitt Romney initially said he was going to, then he changed his mind about 2 months ago. Well, I'm not going to run. Because,
Who's Mitt Romney?
Yeah, that was the guy that ran against the president the last time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, him.
Oh, the guy that ran after Sesame Street.
Yeah.
He wanted to shut Sesame
Street
down.
Basically, yeah, the head of Bain Capital, the one that basically buys up bankrupt businesses, takes what he can out of them, and then sells them for pennies on the dollar, makes a profit off of them. He's not running. So you're going to have a good chunk of Republicans come out, and all they're going to do is every possible thing is going to be up against Hillary Clinton. What is her policy on immigration? What are you going to do about unemployment? What are you going to do about minimum wage?
I like this because it's a bunch of guys against a woman.
Exactly. And you want to know something? I'm going to tell you right now. It's going to backfire against the Republicans if they go about it the way I think they're going to go
They cannot use the woman issue at all.
No.
But that will make the nation like, what? You don't like Hillary because she's a woman?
Yes.
I'll vote for Hillary.
Especially since now this country has kind of almost fulfilled the need for a minority president that could do the job. There was always a, what would happen if a black person ran for president and we voted for him? And we've gotten almost two full terms with President Obama. And he, and as far as I'm concerned, he's done as good of a job as he possibly could based on some of the, I know there's a lot of people, there are a lot of things that he's done that
I'm walking away. I'm walking away.
I know you're walking away from that one. Yeah, he actually walked away. There are a lot of things that Obama hasn't done the right way, and I will agree with you on that one. But considering all of the things that have happened in the past and that have happened over the last few years, and the fact that he's one of the most filibustered presidents in the history of the presidency, and how a lot of things have been thrown at him obstacle-wise, and he's done what he can based on what's been given in front of him. Now, I'm not going to make any excuses about the fact that there's certain things that could have been done differently, but I believe the country has now said, look, we have progressed as a nation where we have an African-American president. Now it's time to see a woman in office that is competent, capable, knows what she's doing, and will get the job done. And
why, because she was a president before, like years ago?
I get it. There's the joke that she was the actual president when Bill Clinton was in office. So
he was getting busy back then.
Apparently. But you know what? I tell you right now, I'm going to reserve my right to say if I would vote for her now because I want to hear what her policy is. I want to hear what she's running on. And she hasn't really brought that out yet. She's done some campaigning here and there. She's gotten on the bus. She's gone to Iowa and talked to a lot of people, but had not brought out what her policy is. When she brings those things up and I can hear what those are, I have a better idea as to what I would say from that standpoint. But from that, I think the country is ready for a competent, notice I'm putting competent, woman president. Doesn't make a difference whether she's white, black. It doesn't matter. They want a competent woman president. And I think that it could actually work. We've had nothing but men in office for the longest time. And I think if the right woman gets in, who knows what we can have a pretty interesting presidency if it does happen. But we'll see what happens as we go forward.
In that case, I should run for president because I know I would do a damn good job.
Almost choked on my war, man.
I see that. No, I just bring Hillary up because this is once again history in the making if it does happen. Because when she first ran, I did believe in Hillary.
Yes.
Not in Obama. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the King of Kings. Mm-hmm. Is not Obama fan.
And we can hear that.
Really?
Yes.
I'm just saying he did do a good job overall. I'm just not a big fan of him. I think he's full of crap.
But then again, most politicians are full of crap anyway. That's the thought process a lot of people have.
Oh, hold on. I have a caller right now.
Okay.
Hello? Caller, you on the air?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Who's this?
This is Annie Up.
Uh-oh. Here we go. Annie Up is in the house, y'all.
How are you doing?
I am well. And yourself?
I'm doing great.
All right, we talk about Hillary Clinton right now.
I was just watching her on TV in Iowa.
Okay.
And how do you feel about her?
You know, I'm not.
Be honest. This is the truth.
I'm going to be honest. No reason to be dishonest. You know, in 2008, I was first a Hillary supporter before Obama came out of nowhere, practically.
Yeah.
And I didn't vote for her in the initial primary. I was like on the fence between Obama and her, and I ended up voting for Obama just because
bad
of
choice.
You know. You said what?
Bad choice.
To vote for Obama?
Yes. Well, carry on.
Okay. Because, you know, at the time she had just, you know, she was starting to be kind of a sore loser almost, and she felt like entitled. You know, she was Senator of New York for 8 years, and she's owed this, she's due this. And, you know, it rubbed the people, a lot of people the wrong way in 2008.
Yeah.
And you can start to see now that with this time around, there is a little more humble approach. You know,
yeah.
People are talking about the fact that, you know, she's trying to be relatable, and that's very difficult for her. My concern really is about the staff at the White House that and the Secret Service, because there's actually a new book out about it's over 100 former White House staff members, and they talk about, you know, who's the best, who's the worst, what so-and-so do, and who does this and who does that. And all those reports, Secret Service, it's like nothing ever nice comes out about Hillary. They say she's difficult. The Secret Service says it's a punishment to be on detail with her. You know, this new book I just mentioned, they talked about when she, her and Bill first came to the White House, how they were both very difficult. They wouldn't tell the kitchen staff when and what they wanted to eat for dinner, who was coming to dinner, you know, how much to make. She had all the chandeliers in the White House rehung. You know,
so in other words, she came across as a diva.
She was a diva back then because, you know, she was the first lady years ago.
Yes.
Yes.
Or many years ago.
Yes. So as all that to say, she, you know, even though she could very well be a great president and very well qualified now to do that, I'm thinking about the people that actually have to work with her on a day-to-day basis and how their life is going to be miserable. So I'm not.
Well, it could be different people now compared to 20 years ago.
No, you have to remember a lot of people that work in the White House, it's a career. Like they will be there for five sitting presidents. You know, the presidents are the ones that rotate out and they stay there. It's not uncommon. Not all of them, sure. Yeah, there will be different staff, but a lot of them, you know, they devote their life to working in the White House. They work there 45 years, you know.
Oh, the lady in the kitchen. Oh, no, the kitchens are coming. The kitchens are coming. Oh, no.
Yeah. And this is the reason why her PR department is going to have to do. They it seems like they've taken a different approach, like you just said, to be a little more personable, trying to be a little more down to earth, and trying to be more in the eyes of the people, not so uppity and rich and stuck up in the eyes of a lot of people. And I think if she can temper that, and also get away from the attacks that the Republicans are going to have, because you pretty well know at some point they're going to attack her on every single thing they can when they get an opportunity. The Republicans that are way out there are going to say, we're going to take back our country, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. How she reacts to that initial maelstrom of controversy will probably go a long way to telling if she's ready to to actually take the White House. I think is she, as far as a choice, there I don't see any other Democrats right now coming out of the woodwork saying anything, because I think that they figure they'll cannibalize each other going up against her.
That's a good point, Sean. So let's say, okay, she does run and she wins the ticket. Should she take a female or a male running mate?
I've heard jokes that she might actually take Bill as her running mate. And in all reality, that's something that was thought of a while back, because everybody thought, well, Bill Clinton was such a good president, no one has ever heard of a former president running as a first male or first man, I guess you would call it, and running with the husband. Well, think about that. How would that work?
Well, I think also, that, I mean, that's a possibility, but I think a very popular rumor as far as what was Bill going to do, because it is a concern, is he might want to be Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, go gallivant around the world like he does with his billionaire little friends, and likes to get into trouble.
Yeah.
But that would at least keep him out of a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, but it would probably cause more trouble than others.
Because it is, because at one point, as you were saying, like, what is Bill going to do? It's like at one point, it's going to come, she's going to have to address that. Because they will dig up all the dirt from the 90s, or not dig it up, but as far as remind everyone of it.
Well, you know, I have a problem with that when they try and collect dirt from the 90s. That's in the past.
Yeah.
Who cares?
They're going to use it, and that's
but
fair
not like
game
we didn't,
as politicians.
Sure, but not that like we didn't know about it.
Yeah.
And
what it is, it's
that's
a
remind everyone. Not dig
exactly.
it up.
Yeah.
Remind
I'm
everyone.
Like,
refresh everyone's memory.
Yes.
Like, what? The biggest shock if Hillary chose Monica Lewinsky as a running mate.
Oh,
you know?
Good God in heaven. That sounds like a Saturday Night Live
That would make people talk.
Yeah, but to assuage the ones that are trying to bring down Hillary Clinton, the issue is going to be how she, because you know she's going to get attacked from every direction. How she handles this, and hopefully the people that are going to do the attacking don't bring her daughter into this. Because at some point, you know that's going to be, they all play dirty pool when it comes to politics. So with that being done, what are they going to do? How are they going to do it? And then on top of that, is Hillary equipped to answer the right questions without coming off as overly pissed or overly upset and not ruin her chances in the eyes of the press, in the eyes of the voters and the constituency? Because it's going to happen at some point.
Yeah, because also because sexism is going to come into play on this.
That's about to bring up sexism.
As you were just saying, if she reacts a certain way and, you know, it's not favorable, that's where sexism will come into play. Oh, she's an emotional. And as a woman, we're emotional, but if it was a man, they were just, you know, taking charge and telling it like it is and, you know, given their opinion.
Yeah, and that's the problem with society, in the fact that there haven't been enough opportunities for a woman to be in this kind of powerful position and be taken seriously. And I think although we've had lots of women in offices, you know, like in courts and other job, high-priced lawyers and that kind of thing, and CEOs of companies, the issue is that are they going to be taken ultimately seriously enough that anything that she says or does as far as doing laws or trying to come up with resolutions for conflicts, will it be taken seriously enough without the normal sexist jokes and all of the other gaga that seems to go along?
Hey, she's a woman. But that's my problem is when Obama was running for president. I don't want people telling me, vote for Obama because he's black. Same thing for Hillary. I want a female start voting for Hillary because she's a woman.
Exactly. Exactly. Vote on. Don't use that as the excuse to vote. Use it to say, well, that accentuates it on some level, but that's not the reason to vote for her. Vote for her because of what she's running for and her character, not because she is a female.
But if it, but on some votes, I agree with what you guys are saying. However, there will be some votes had because of that very reason.
Exactly.
Woman power.
You know, because she's a woman, and then she will also lose some votes because on the mere fact that she was born
a woman.
So it will go, it will definitely go both ways. It is a part of it. It's you know, the dirty politics that you guys spoke about before, because it shouldn't have anything to do with it, but we're not in that place.
All right. So Annie,
yes.
Do you think Obama did a great job, an okay job, a good job, or you're not buying it?
On what topic?
Oh, overall performance as a president.
Well, he's not done his presidency, so it would just...
Well, he got like a year left, just about. Well, you know, Obama's been criticized over the years. You know, okay, he's done a great job. But he faced a lot of issues that, you know, not other presidents faced before. But once again, part of it is race. Part of it is, you know, he's black. You don't want to see a successful black president.
Yeah.
And one other thing I'll bring about before I throw it back to you. The one thing that Democrats, I've noticed, they don't do enough of is to run on their record. And as a lot of people say, a lot of Democrats are cowards when it comes to that. Obama has, since he's been in office, he tried to, when he first got into office, and I brought this up last week, unemployment was extremely high. It was like 9%, 9.3%. It's down to 5.5%.
Yeah. I think it was actually over 10.
Exactly. And he brought it down to 5%.
But no one gave him credit for that.
And the reason is not that necessarily he's not getting any credit. The Democrats aren't beating their chest like Republicans would do when they do something that is favorable in the eyes of the media. The Democrats are not beating their chest saying, this is what we did. We did that. Health care is now something that every American has. Those kinds of instances that they have brought up, they don't talk about. And that's part of the problem. Remember, they even got people out of Iraq and out of Afghanistan within a certain amount of time and pulling people out. It's just something that was brought up. I tell you right now, and I've said this before, Democrats, when it comes to running on their record, are cowards. They don't talk about the things that they do. Whereas Republicans have made a great job of whatever accomplishments that they do or whatever accomplishments that they make, they will make sure that you know about it and memorize it from the day that they say. Plain and simple.
Well, usually they just have storylines, but not necessarily their record of things that they actually did or actually accomplished. They usually just have a list of buzzwords that they just repeat, but it is effective method.
Yes.
Okay, well, we cover a lot on
but
topics.
Huh?
No, I'm just saying that we're talking some good topics about politics.
Yeah.
Well, carry on, Annie.
No, I was just going to say to your point earlier, Rodney, about the things that Obama's endured that other maybe presidents haven't. I think just one thing is just the blatant disrespect from Congress.
Yes.
Where they just...
It might happen again if Hillary is president because she's a woman. That's what I'm trying to break these points up.
Definitely.
But, you know, overall, this is a racist country.
It's guaranteed to happen. It's the same thing as the reason why I said Obama has gone through more garbage than any president that I've seen. Every law that he's either tried to push through or any reform that he's tried to push through has been filibustered. And he said, like I said, he's been the most filibustered president in the history of the presidency. And it's not necessarily because, oh, he's a Democrat, we don't want anything. First of all, him being a Democrat doesn't help. Number two, the fact that he is an African-American president that a lot of the, quote, old boys network that are still in office in Congress and certain they don't agree with. So a lot of times
that
you can get, exactly, they don't want to, anything he wants to go ahead and do, they don't want to hear about. So.
Yeah, I mean, when Obama first came to office or first became popular, he was, you know, outside of the D.C. belt, you know. Tim and Michelle are both from very humble beginnings. And, you know, 6 or 7 years before he was elected, he just paid off his student loan, you know.
Yeah.
So they were just a regular family just trying to better themselves and do better than what their parents did. And,
exactly.
You know, that doesn't really necessarily go over well in a town like Washington, D.C., where it's all about the money. And it's not necessarily who has the seat. It's who's pumping money into that seat.
It always comes down to the money. The root of all
is
the money. Money I don't have, but ladies and gentlemen, you want to donate money to me, feel free, because I need money.
Well, you have to tell the people that you hate them first, and then they'll send you money.
Oh, yes, I hate you guys. Send me money. No, we talked about the religion freedom law earlier today on the show, how people are getting donations because they don't serve gays and lesbians.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, you didn't hear about that?
No, I know.
So what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, there's also people on the other side of that. This woman, I think it might have been in Canada, though. It was a bakery, and someone wanted her to make an anti-gay cake, and she refused to do it because she didn't think it was right. So she didn't want to do a cake against gay people because it wasn't right for her. So I think it's also, you know, what people want to portray. The story about goes back to the storyline, because for every story of someone, you know, bashing gay rights, there's someone that's saying, hey, you know what, that's not right. We're all here together. We're all the same person. And it's just the negativity of media and what people want to tell and show to have a negative. Because, for you know, the old saying in news, if it bleeds, it leads. So,
yes.
You know,
yeah.
people don't want to see sunshine and rainbows on the news for whatever reason, because our culture is violence as entertainment, gossip as entertainment.
So in other words, are we ready to see a gay or lesbian president?
I think it's something that I would love to see, but I don't think in general as a country, I don't know if the country is ready yet. If that was the case, we wouldn't see as much, we wouldn't have as much opposition to all of these laws that we're getting as we're getting now. If this was a lot more of a...
I think the next generation, we're definitely headed towards that way, where it is becoming more socially accepted. The next generation, they don't care about race and you know, their parents didn't go through Jim Crow or segregation, so they don't have those type of history. And also, a lot, the next generation is mostly biracial. So there's that,
yes,
too.
Yes.
So mom is one thing, dad's like three things, and then, you know, my cousin's three other things, and that's just what it is. And people now are more accepting to homosexuals as well. And it's not like, oh, you're gay. So,
well, we are. There's still some
you have
areas
to be in the closet. It's more
true,
like it's
still...
more like, oh, like that's fine, great. Like that doesn't, you know, I'm not going to treat you any different. You're just as human as the rest of us. We all got the same problem.
That's us, know? But there's still some areas in the country that still have not accepted.
And probably never
right,
will.
But that's what I'm saying. The next generation, we might not see it with our but the next generation, because we are moving toward that way of it's where people are more tolerant. Of course, there's people that aren't, but then there's also people that are openly gay. Hillary's campaign manager is an openly gay man.
Hey.
So that's new. You know, the fact that people don't have to be in the closet or feel so much shame that they would rather die than to be who they were, to be who they are, who they were born to be.
And imagine whenever this happens, maybe 20 years from now or maybe two terms from now, that person that is openly gay that actually comes out that wants to run for president and gets that groundswell of support, the story mm-hmm. that person would tell. And it would be a great story to listen to and be able to try for other people to identify with. Because you figure by that time, there will be a lot more laws in place to protect gay people. You'd have a lot more visibility within the gay community in other positions of power or higher ups that could identify. And you would actually be able to say that there will be a lot more votes, not just from the gay community, but from straight people that are they just want to see the best person run for president and not just because they're gay.
Yeah, but there will still be some negativity along with that.
There will always be that negativity, but at least it'll be a more informed vote as opposed to just a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be 100% across the board. You know, nothing is 100% across the board. You're not going to get everybody to agree with one thing, and that's what makes a democracy, that you have different thoughts, you have different opinions, but we do, in theory, what's best for the whole. Now, that's obviously a wonderful dream, you know, of democracy. But, you know, I really think that the next generation is going to progress it further. And we hope that, you know, like gay marriage in states is now being recognized, and we hope that that continues because it's human rights. Everyone has a basic human. Everyone as a human should be afforded basic human rights, and to marry and to be who you want to be is a basic human right.
Exactly.
Amen, sister. Wow. And you know, dropping the mic right there. Boom.
Wow. Mic drop.
Because Annie Up says so. Mic drop.
Uh-oh.
Annie Up, question. Do you have any pet peeves that's bothering you this week?
Pet peeves that are bothering me this week?
Any pet peeve? Because we all do a segment called Pet Peeves of the Week.
Pet peeves of the week. What have been some past peeves that you've done?
Oh, for example, today, the MTA. Oh. The reason why we started our show late was the MTA sucks. There's always some type of track work, something going on that everybody's fighting on the bus, because the bus is very crowded, we have to wait for another bus. Why are we spending more money and we get more crappier service? That's Sean and I, pet peeve of the week.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I went to Williamsburg yesterday, and I had to, like, go around my elbow to get there on the train because the L's not working for the fifth straight weekend in a row.
So there you have it. That's your pet peeve of the week.
There it is. And
it is never going our way.
No.
Oh, and, you know, thank you so much for calling in. We have to do this again. Maybe next Sunday.
All right. Good talking to you guys.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Sean Black, any final thoughts on anything? Why you have something sticking in your mouth right now?
This is what happens when you eat candy on the air. You know, you're not supposed to do, but forgive me.
You need help.
Come back to me in about 30 seconds.
Okay. My final thought. Forgive me. We're having a rough day today.
Oh, yeah.
Between the transit and other problems, Annie up, was in the hospital. Was having a great day.
Oh, yes.
Final thought? Wow. There's a lot going on in this crazy world today. Live your life, because we don't know what's going on the next day. And that's why we did this show, to tell you the truth, the absolute truth. So open up your eyes. Not to think one way because the media says so. Think outside the box.
Exactly.
You know, about this racial profiling, the religion laws. Open up your eyes, people. They're trying to tell us what to think, what to do, how to eat.
Yes. What to eat.
What to eat.
How to cook it. I mean, the things that go on in society today in the last couple of weeks would be enough to make your head spin. But there are a lot of things in play that happen on a regular basis that are coming to a head. And something big may happen one day that may open everybody's eyes to, wow, the world has changed completely.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what that is, because it's, I guess whatever it is that's happening, it's, I guess it's in play. It's one of those things that's progressively happening. But we know at some point, you people that are listening to our mm-hmm. show, which by the way, we cannot do the show without you guys and your support. So we thank all of the people that listen to our show. And we want to also thank the people that listen to us on Thursday, because we did a special Thursday show. And we actually did get a pretty decent amount of listeners that listened to the show. We talked about celebrity and talked about how celebrity has always been an issue when it comes to certain things and way you raise
abusing,
your children.
Abusing money. Power.
Money. So we thank those for listening, and it carried over to listen to us today. We were a little late from what we would normally run, so we apologize.
It's really Sean Black's fault why we're late.
Yes. It's my fault.
I'm not going to take blame. I'm the hot rod.
Oh, of course, yeah. So in any event, we'd like to. I'm going to continue as I said before. You keep your eyes open, listen to the news, pull the news out from what you want out of it, and you will actually find the truth that you're looking for. And that's all we're trying to do, is give you the tools that we find and then disseminate the news to you, and then you just look over it and you find out what can I pull out of this and use for my benefit.
So, you have any questions, comments, or topics you want Sean Black, the Hot Rod, and hopefully Anisha B come back sooner than later?
Yes.
Tweet us at The Absolute Truth 100. That is at The Absolute Truth 100.
Yes.
I think that's the Twitter name, but I don't remember right now.
We'll figure it out, and then we'll put it up on, I guess, a Facebook or something.
Oh, yeah, you know what? Facebook. I need to bring up a page.
Yeah, I believe so. Well, at some point, you go on ahead and do that. You know.
Yeah, because I have to do everything around here. Well, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, I am the Hot Rod, a.k.a. the King of Kings, with
Sean Black.
Thank you for listening on Blog Talk Radio. And ladies and gentlemen, as always, the pleasure
was all yours.
Party done. Hello, end it. This thing always give me a hard time. End this damn episode. Well, I love you guys.